temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Last I checked, she's second in the league in assists. And she orchestrates every game from the point. And there she was yesterday on the road. Sorry, we're back on the air. You're catching me and Bob in a midstream conversation about Caitlin Clark and how Diana Taurasi was wrong about her when she said, basically said, you know, she's going to struggle. Of course she's going to struggle. Every rookie does, you know, and she did. And she took, you know, a lot of abuse.
She got initiated.
The same as Sidney Crosby right. did. The same, you know, they froze out Kobe Bryant from the All-Star game. You know, remember all that. But the way Taurasi said it before the season was she's going to get her ass kicked this year. And I'll tell you who's doing the ass kicking now is her. That was her in a road venue yesterday in Minnesota, sold out because of her. About half the crowd, what was it, 30,000, something like that.
Yeah, it was huge, and they were all standing and cheering for her.
At the end, yeah. She's imploring the crowd at the end on the road in a road venue and beating the Olympic coach who didn't pick her. So let's go back to Diana Taurasi and ask her, who's kicking whose ass now? And the Fever is better than they were last year. And Caitlin Clark is second in the entire WNBA in assists. And if you watch her game by game, she orchestrates games from the point. She didn't even have a good game yesterday. Didn't even have a good game, but in the fourth quarter, she had 10 points, 2 assists, and they came back from 7 points to win on the road. So who's right now? Not Diana Taurasi, I can tell you that.
No, not at all. And quite frankly, she's done it in a very professional way. She hasn't said anything. She just let her body of work do the talking, and it's quite apparent that she already is going to be one of the more elite players ever to come along. And there have been a lot of good ones, don't get me wrong there, so there's a ton of them in there, but she offers something. She triggers everything. I mean, when you watch her play and watch the Fever play, you will see that everything runs around her.
I never knew she was this great of a passer.
And she's had a triple-double already, and from what I understand, that's the first one in their history, so pretty good.
Assists per game, second in the WNBA. No, she just took over the lead today. She leads the league in assists per game at 7.8. points per game, she's up around 17. Rebounds per game, she's in the top like 20 in rebounds per game. She's 19th. I mean, it's ridiculous what she's done as a rookie, and it does remind me of Sid. It really does, how she just took it, you know, took the abuse. It started to wane now because she's earned everybody's respect because she's that damn good. That's what the deal is here. She's that good, Bob.
No, she's dynamic, and that's why people are paying. I don't care what anyone says. She is the reason why they're selling out every arena wherever they go. And yesterday was the biggest example of that. So kudos to her. She's done it, like I said, professionally. She hasn't complained about any things that have happened. And man, you're talking about, and the thing that's most impressive to me, Joe, is the fact that she does it right after an NCAA season where there was no time off. Basically, she has been playing solid basketball for how long now? And that's tough to do, you know, to go all over the place like that and to be as successful. Normally, if you get tired, you're going to see it in your shots. Your legs won't jump the way they need to jump. And, but she's bought all that off.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They went from 40 games and her being the biggest star in the college game and all the attendant pressures to that to not even a 1 month break and then into a pro season. No other sport. You'd never see that in another sport. Never.
No, you would see fatigue also come in at some point.
But
here,
I think it has. I think that's why her 3-point shooting's down. But you just wait till she gets an off season and comes back next year. She's going to be a top 5 player in the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone from, you know, they talk about a rookie of the year race. There is no rookie of the year race. But we better stop with the WNBA talk, Bob. That's enough.
That's all right. We have open championship talk later in the program. We will talk about that, right, Austin? We have to. And got to talk about that. Why not?
What are we talking about?
About the Open Championship. You're going to be playing at Royal Troon down at Topgolf.
So I'm playing at Moon. I'm playing at Moon on Saturday and Sunday.
We'll do that later. I want to get back to your big topic, which continues.
Just let me finish with this, Bob. I've become a WNBA fan. It's unbelievable. I watch every game. I know all the players. I know all the teams. I'm emotionally invested in the Fever, Kelsey Mitchell, Leah Boston, Clark, all their players. They've become like a team that I'm actively and emotionally rooting for. It's unbelievable.
And the sign of any great player is making those around you better. And she's done that. She's made everyone around her better.
I'm a huge fan of all things WNBA right now. All right, back to the Pirates and back to this Paul Skeens projection. All things Pirates come back to Skeens. What they did in the draft, I didn't like it. It was a post-Skeens draft, it felt like, when there's a kid out there from Texas A&M who could be helping you very soon. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
That's point number one.
Yes, because I'm looking shorter term, not longer term.
Limits, do you agree with that?
1,000%. I thought they were going to take a college bat, whether it be first base or in the outfield, and they had opportunities to do it in the first round and in the second round.
What are they doing here? Collecting high school shortstops?
They love taking prep shortstops.
I'm sure they have a great shot to win the PIAA title next year. They could win a state title next year, Bob. What's next year's draft? All-American Legion players? Let's get guys who can help soon.
That's what doesn't make sense about it. But at the same time, baseball draft, we're going to take the best player available. Why not, even if you have to slightly reach for a college bat who's going to be here in 2 years, go that route, that avenue, instead of a high school guy who's not going to be here for 4 or 5 years.
That's one. Two is the Pirates' deadline, to me, is totally Skeens-centered. So you look at the team right now, I think they're in a great spot. They have proven themselves to their general manager, because that's the way he painted it, was basically, you tell me if you're worth adding to. I'm not going to help you, by the way, along the way, by adding to your team. You're going to tell me. They've told him emphatically, now that we go to the All-Star break, we are worthy of additions. Do you think he fought? And to me, again, that's Skeens related, because normally a 48-48 team, you'd say, buyer, seller, I don't know. Here, it's emphatically, no doubt, buyer, or it should be. Will it be?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, you'll be sending the wrong message, not just to your team, but to the people who follow your team. They're going to be two sellouts here on Friday and Saturday.
Something from the dollar store or something good?
Well, I would go for something good, but I think maybe that ship has sailed. I would have done that earlier. Listen, they just came off a sweep of a terrible baseball team. I think what that has to be noted in this. The White Sox are as bad as any team, but they did what they had to do. They could have lost games in there, and they won them all, which is great. But now it sets up a second half, which starts with Philadelphia, St. Louis, Arizona, and Houston. These are all teams in playoff contention or already in.
And if you're going to note that they took 2 out of 3 from the division leader right before that.
But this goes back to my original point that I was trying to make about your question. I would have done this earlier.
Me too.
I would have made some, so I had somebody here all ready to go so that we go into the meat of this schedule with this. Because I do believe that if they get in, and because there's so many just average teams in this mix, they could be the team that emerges. There's just a game and a half out of both, I think, the third and second wild card, right? I mean, they could jump into the second one. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, I see their second half schedule. There's not a lot of series off here. There's not a lot of White Sox. Of course, the White Sox are the worst team in baseball. But you're starting out with the Phillies, Cardinals, 6 of 9 against the Diamondbacks, Bob, who are pretty – they have some heavy hitters, some heavy power hitters. And they're the same as you. They're 49-48. Dodgers, 6 against the Padres. And then you finish with Reds, Cubs, who have come on a little bit. Cleveland, Cubs, Nats. Then you get the Marlins, which is good. Kansas City, St. Louis, Cincy, Milwaukee, and the Yankees.
Yeah, the last
three of
the year.
At Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium. That would be very interesting.
That's a brutal second half schedule.
It is. That's what I said. I would have. If it's me, I would have done something bigger earlier just to fortify myself as I went into this stretch.
So what do you think they will do?
I don't, you know.
What do you think Ben Charrington has it in him?
We're going to find out. I think I would. Again, I'm only asking what or telling you what I would do. I would have done this already. I would have done anything earlier when I thought this team had a potential to be in this with the pitching that I see develop right in front of my eyes, and I would have made a bigger play. Now that they're in this boat, it may not be available. Or, you know, they're going to have to...
Would you trade a high prospect for a rental? Cody Bellinger, for example.
Yes. I would. I mean, that's part of the game, man. You can't be afraid of what happens.
I'll tell you who I wouldn't trade right now. He's become an untouchable for me, and that's Bubba Chandler. They've got tons of high-end pitching prospects, though. But
yeah, but he'd be the one that would bring in the most if you're going to have to dangle
anyone
out there.
Yeah, but Bob, that for a rental?
I'm just telling you that, you know.
I see a rotation next year of Skeens,
oh, I do too. I
Keller,
think it's a great rotation.
Chandler, Jones.
But I think there are other people in their system they could utilize.
Yeah, Solomato, a bunch of guys they could utilize.
Yeah.
I would trade one or two top 10 prospects for a rental. Don't get me wrong.
Got a couple of weeks here to determine what they're going to do. And you know these other teams are going to be active. They're all in it to get in that opportunity.
And they all want hitting, or most of them do. I said that off the top of my head about the Pirates' second half schedule, but now I see it's confirmed on a great website called tankathon.com. They've got the fourth toughest schedule in baseball.
Yep.
The second half, the second toughest in the National League. Did you know that, Bob?
Yes, I saw all those numbers, and that's what makes me wonder how that will impact what Ben Cherington does.
Should it?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I already told you
what I would do. But all we can do is watch and see what he does. They have not been in this position since he's been here, really.
Let's go to a dehydrated city limits. What would you do? I expected you to jump in by now with your Pirate passion.
I would not give up Bubba Chandler for a rental. Now,
no way am I doing that.
He's just an untouchable for me at this point. I mean, Tomar Johnson, maybe you deal him. Solomedo, the value isn't really high right now. I think that they can get Taylor Ward, and you missed that whole thing with Paul last week, or a Brent Rooker, and not have to give up much. Probably two top 15 guys, maybe another lottery ticket type of player, like three guys that are packaged together. That's not much. You're talking about like your 11th prospect, maybe your 9th prospect, and then somebody else who's in like A-ball.
Does Taylor Ward excite anybody?
He would be an upgrade, but excite me.
He'd be an upgrade?
Well,
which guy in particular? Sawinski, I guess?
Yes, Michael A. Taylor. He'd be second on the team in RBIs right now and tied for second in home runs.
Yeah,
he's got an OPS barely over 700. He does have 14 homers. I don't know. That doesn't really excite me. And he's batting 130 in July. I'm sorry, that doesn't. And 181, well, listen, and 181
you,
last month.
You can look,
he'd be a downgrade on
you
Sawinski.
You can look around and see all these averages on any player trying to. There are some bad averages.
Bob, his
out
OPS
there
is 352. He has no. His well, last, you, his you last do, home run was a month ago.
Look at Luis Robert. Have you seen anything recently from him that makes you think he's. Now, he's been the popular name because he has a couple of years after this one, and I get it. That would be a good way to go, but he hasn't been hitting all that well either. But you do it based on what you see the potential of the player can be.
I guess. I don't know. He doesn't really excite me. I think Key Brian Hayes is a huge key for the second half. And Cruz has started to trend well. But we're moving away from the top. Well, we're not really, because it's all Skeen-centric here. SpotRack has suggested a 7-year, $114 million deal. That would buy out two seasons of free agency. Here's what you need to know out there. It gets very complicated, this crap. Here's what you need to know. Right now, the Pirates control Paul Skeens through 2029. So after this, they have 5 years of control of Skeens. That's it. Five. Which means that includes paying him through arbitration, obviously. The next 2 years, his salary is an absolute joke and the best bargain in baseball, although they did give him a record-setting $9 million bonus coming out of the draft. You have five more years of control. Okay? So then you ask yourself, will he even get there? Or is it the Gerrit Cole plan where he becomes tradable with 2 years left on his deal? Where you want to trade high because he still has a couple years of team control left and all that. So the way I see it, Bob, right now, we would start talking and worrying about Skeens after 3 years, after the 2027 season. We'd start worrying about him if, as the SpotRack story ends, the Pirates do what they always do.
Correct.
That's when we'd start worrying.
Well,
so the
if he gets to that point, then he's going to be gone. It's just a matter of to which team he goes.
So what do you do to prevent that? What do you do to increase the window? Obviously, you make him an offer that would be difficult to refuse. SpotRack says you give him a 7-year, $114 million. That would buy out 2 years of free agency. 2 years. It would push his unrestricted free agency to 2032, I believe. And essentially, here's what you'd be doing here. Stay with me. You would be paying him, handing him $20 million extra dollars through arbitration based on projections. This is what he's going to get through arbitration. We're going to give you $20 million more during our time of team control than you would probably get. Mm-hmm. $20 million more, and we're handing you that check for the right to give you a bunch more money and control you for 2 years into your free agency. Do you understand that?
Sure.
Would you do it from Skeens' end?
If I were Skeens, this would be the decision I would have. Am I going to bet on myself so that before it ever comes to those 2 years you just described, I could be in an even bit better position? Again, he's only 22. So even 7 years takes you to 29. He'll have a second contract in there somewhere if he's healthy. There's no doubt, unless he totally falls apart, which I do not see, obviously, because he's got control of everything he does. It just depends on what his agent and he think of his value at that time. And I think, Joe, that's going to be the biggest stumbling block.
Well, the
What does he think he'll be worth? If he wins two Cy Youngs early in contention for Cy Youngs, you put a market on that if he were free to go. What would it be? For
Bob, he's going to be if he's this guy moving forward, barring injury and maybe even with injury. All these guys, Hunter Green, Strider, they've all been hurt at one time,
and they come back.
They come back. He's a $500 million pitcher,
right?
And I'm going to say he's $500 million at least 5-6 years from now. Are you kidding me? He could go to free agency in 2029 as a 27-year-old, I think, and make a minimum of $500 million. So it becomes a game show. It becomes deal or no deal. Paul Skeens has a lifeline. He can call his agent and say, should I accept the, and this would be presuming the Pirates would ever make such an offer. We'll get to that in a minute. Should I sacrifice 2 years of free agency and make maybe $28 million a year with the Pirates? Should I get the $113 million in the bank? Who's the host of Deal or No Deal Limits?
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel is offering me $113 million, guarding against injury, guarding against everything else. I get $113 million, or should I keep playing here, keep going, and try to get to $500 million? What would you guys do if you were advising Skeens?
I would advise for the latter. I would. I just think, you know, you're going to get in that situation a lot sooner than most people would have. And the last thing you want to do is, you know, come, you know, the year 2028, you're making $20 million a year when everyone else is in, you know, in that category at $45 to $50 million a year.
Yeah.
Again, it's a game. It depends on what he wants. There's a lot to be said for getting a guaranteed amount of money, knowing it's guaranteed regardless of what happens, knowing it's more money than you'll ever spend in your life. If that's your goal, then sign it. If it's not your goal, if it's your goal to take it to levels no one's seen before and you're in that position, then that's your goal too. It would depend on his mindset. That's why the Pirates may have to make it a little bit more of a sweet deal than that.
That's what I was just going to say. I think if I'm Skeens and his agent, I'm saying, you know what, those first 2 years of free agency, even though you gave me more than I would have made in the last 2 years of arbitration.
Right.
Or 3 years, whatever. You gave me $20 million more during your time of team control. 28.5 is not going to cut it for my first 2 years of what would have been unrestricted free agency.
That's what I mean.
Let's talk.
Where would the market be?
That's the crazy thing.
You're talking about 5 years from now. What would it be if he doesn't sign anything?
Let's talk $50 million for those 2 years. $50 million. So let's get this thing up around, I don't know, 7 years, $175 million. Then we can start talking. Otherwise, if I'm Paul Skeens, I'm betting on myself, just like Bob said.
But here's the thing I want to say about the Pirates. Even with these salaries that you may be talking about with him, it will not put your overall team budget anywhere near the Dodgers or Yankees, even with a contract of that magnitude. You know what I mean?
This is the biggest star.
So it is doable if they want to engage in it, and they'd have to be willing to do it. Again, we have not come to this territory ever with them.
They laid out $100 million for Reynolds.
They couldn't lay out
$175 million for Skeens with the inherent risk.
I think they have to do it. You know, I think otherwise you're just gonna, you know, especially if he wins a Cy Young, and as I said, he's creeping in on that conversation a lot quicker than you may think. It affects everything about him and, you know, the time you have to deal with him. So
what would you do, Limits? I'm Howie Mandel. I'm going to hand you a briefcase with $114 million. You can walk away with that right now, but I own you. I own you for 7 years. Or you can tell me, Howie, you only owe me for 5 years. You own me for 5 years, and then I'm going to go out and try and make $500 million. What would you do?
If I'm Paul Skeens, I don't take it. And as much as I'd like to see it happen, it's just, don't think it's realistic. The Pirates would probably have to offer maybe $8 and $200 million. I mean, this guy knows how good he is. Like, come on, remember that comment that he made against...
His agent knows. His agent will show him numbers that are going to be mystical, you know?
The only thing that sticks in my mind
is
injury, though, Bob.
Okay, but...
That's the only thing...
You can't make a deal based on your fearful nature about a guy getting it. It's going to happen. Everyone does. Pitchers... If you're worried about that year and a half he won't be here, think about the flip side of it when it's over. He will be, and he should be fine.
But for him, I'm talking.
Oh, you're talking about his point of view.
I'm talking I'll take the 100. Here's the other thing. I would never criticize
a guy for saying that. If he wants that money guaranteed and he makes his own decision, that's fine.
Here's the other thing. Even with a 7-year extension, he hits unrestricted free agency before the age of 30.
Yeah, and guess
before
what?
30.
He can get at that point a 5-year deal for how much?
$500 million.
Not $100 million a year.
It's going to get upwards of that. How much did Ohtani make right now?
Well, it's deferred. How about if somebody came with you? I love deferred packages. That would be nice.
Well, Garrett Cole got $324 million at, I think, 29 is when he signed for.
Yeah, but
you
think that's crazy?
Years
from now,
right?
Otani's making $70 million. Scherzer's making 43.
But Otani does both. I think he's a unique case, and it's hard to, you know.
But we're also talking 5 years from now.
I know that. But also, I know that Skeens would love to hit. How about give him a bat?
Don't you think that? Don't you think at some point these contracts have to top out?
You'd think, but they haven't so far. Limits.
I mean, it just, I don't know. I can't see a world where somebody, like, let's say Garrett Cole, it's free agency, whatever, he's healthy. He gets a $80 million per year contract. And I understand that the numbers just continue to go up in terms of money and how much revenue has been brought in. It just seems like numbers that are just insurmountable.
Let me ask you this. Cole, 5 years ago in 2019, signed a $324 million contract. Paul Skeens becomes a free agent tomorrow. What's the total sum value of his best deal? I'm going to say $600 million.
I think that's very high.
Okay. You don't think the Dodgers or Yankees would roll along with at least a $500 million?
You're talking about right now?
Right now.
Well, after 11 starts.
So you're telling me if he was a free agent right now?
Right now.
Well, again, he's 11 years or 11 starts into his season. I think you got to let this play out a little bit too. You know, I'm not going to – that kind of money for a guy who's made 11 starts –
I'd say 10 and 300 will be the deal.
You don't think he'd outdo Garrett Cole's deal?
No, I don't think it'll be 10 and 300. I think it would be more like, I would go 40 million. I'd say 10 and 400 if I had to do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's more in my ballpark.
Yeah, but 600, now you're getting into an area that, well, forget about that conversation because the Pirates would never have it. I don't know how many teams actually would.
412-928-9370.
We're all good at spending money here, it looks like.
We're getting ready for the All Skeens game tomorrow night. It's going to be in Crinkulent, city limits. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the numbers. What would you do if you were Skeens? Let's go from his side first here. You hand me well over $100 million guaranteed against all future injury and everything else, but it locks me up with you for 7 years, or I get out after five and I can go make all the money in the world, which is close to what he might get. And then from the Pirates side, what would you do? Let's continue this conversation.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.